Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening and welcome to Fade to Black Cinema. I'm Michael, your Bougie Black Brother, and I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
And we just got back from seeing a highly anticipated movie from one of our newest favorite directors, Steve McQueen, the black guy, not the white guy.
12 Years a Slave.
And his new movie, Widows. And we saw the previews, and we eventually found that it was based on
There's a TV show on a British station called Widows. Back in 1983, there's the one, and there's a 1985 one that was done.
So it was one version that started, and then they redid it again?
They didn't redo it. They just had a second version of it. They continue on from that.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So this is three parts to it, but it got high ratings.
Right.
And I've been trying to find it. So me and Mr. Carcon really watched the show. And Steve McQueen don't do too many movies.
No, he's very, very picky. Particular.
Yes.
What he chooses from and all. So, yeah, which made it really, really interesting. But I really was looking forward to it because I really like what he does in his movies, with cinematography, how he does character development. And there was a lot of stars in this, too.
So he had
a lot of big-name stars.
Not only big-name stars, but he has people in this movie, and he's going to be making them stars after the movie has come out. He's going to be making them stars and we'll talk about that along the way.
Yeah, so, again, a good director makes average people look really, really good. But the head protagonist is Viola Davis, which is one of the best actresses out there who's acting. You know, she's one of the best. And, you know, whatever she does, you need to see anyway. Because she's going to bring whatever she can to the role that she takes.
I have one little bitch. I have a bitching section right now, the small one. So we're in the movie theater. And, you know, it was a 4:30 movie. And so we're sitting there, and, you know, watching the movie. All of a sudden, two black people get up and leave. That shit pissed me off. Because the fact that it wasn't at their speed level, or they were just illiterate. I mean, there's just no excuse why as black people talk about wanting to see good movies, wanting movies to be by good directors, and yet they'll be quick to tell us, oh, why don't you go see, what is his name, Kevin Hart movie. I'm like, what the hell? Why would we want to go see Kevin Hart? Why in the hell we want to go see Kevin Hart? Did y'all see the ratings? Do y'all see the ratings? If y'all want a good laugh, sure, do that. I don't have a problem with that. But me and Mr. Carr don't see Kevin Hart. We will see Kevin Hart on HBO or whatever. And Miss Carr don't even watch that. The kids, the grandbabies want to see him. And that's fine with me. But it disappoint me when we have our own people who don't even want to watch a good movie. And this was an excellent movie. Viola Davis blew it away. Steve McQueen was an excellent director. So I'm sorry. Let me get off my little soapbox.
No, that's fine. You make valid points, but just like I tell one of my good friends, Chaz, you just believe in people. You believe that people should know more than what they should know. And that's the problem. I don't believe people know what they should do, because I don't believe that some people know what a good movie looks like. So you can't expect them to know what it looks like. So I'll jump into this since you introduced it. So I'm looking at the audience reviews. I'm not looking at the critics' review. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them was like, it took too long with the character development. Okay, got you. But if you need to care and associate with a character, you need development. One of them said, you know, the action scenes that you saw on the trailer made me think that I was going to see an action movie. You know, they showed that woman running like she was running from something, and I go to the movies and she's only running to get on a bus. That was just dumb. No, it wasn't dumb. You put the most exciting things in a trailer. Then you don't even know what kind of director he is, and you expected to see a big heist movie. But if you know what the director does, you need to understand what how he does things. Another person say it was too it was a connoisseur movie. So the way you saw the cinematography and the photography, where a person sit on the one end and then another person on it, and you see the reflection like they were talking with each other. And I picked up on all that, and I thought that was very creative. I thought that was amazing the way the photography and the cinematography was done. But these people are complaining about it. There's another woman who said it stereotyped Chicago of how the black women with big booties and big earrings. And well, if you walk into Chicago in a certain neighborhoods, that's what you're going to see. Then you're going to see, well, all the black men were gangsters. Nah, all of them aren't gangsters, but there are people like that in there. And you saw the corruption with the white rich people. So you're still getting a contrast of the reality of that. You stereotyping what, Chicago? So if it was in New York, would you stereotype New York? Would you stereotype Atlanta? So these criticisms is what people want a movie to be. So I don't get disappointed with people anymore. I just understand their ignorance, not their stupidity, but their ignorance. Because if they go in just to see smash, grab, they'll see Fast and the Furious. You know, when we go see that, it's just about seeing how fast the cars go.
That's it. We already know what the movie's about.
So if it's dumb, that's my fault for going.
Right, exactly.
So what did you expect? If you expected more, then yeah. We went to see the last Fast and the Furious. I didn't like it, not because of the cars, but it was too much green screen fake shit that was going on.
Yeah,
I like to see the real cars.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't do that, so that made it terrible for me. Well, what did you expect? I expected to be like the previous ones.
Yeah,
but they didn't do that. But anyway, so what I'm saying is, people thought it was going to be something else, but the people who like films said it was great.
Yeah,
it was great. And I had a couple of people on the gram that we go back and forth. He go see movies and I go see movies. And he loved everything but the story. He said the story really didn't have too much meat to it. But the characters just made it better.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to agree with him. I said, but I enjoyed it regardless because he worked with the story that he had.
Right. And you're right. He's right about that. It didn't. The story didn't have the kind of meat to it.
Yeah, it really didn't.
But he had the right characters.
Exactly. To and make what it he work. Did. And I told him one part, and I'll jump into this quickly, was when, what's his name? Robert Duvall, which was one of the big time aldermen or whatever from that. He played the Mulligans. So he was a Mulligan. He was
Colin Farrell's
dad.
Yeah.
But Robert Duvall, and they were talking, and Robert Duvall got so mad that spit was coming out of his mouth. And what Steve McQueen left, he left it. He didn't say cut, look, you're spitting too much. He wanted to show,
mm-hmm.
Here's the anger. If someone gets that mad and spit is coming out of their mouth, and he was talking, and he had to wipe it away because he pulled anger out of him to say, I'm mad at my son. And Colin just laid back and dismissed his father and told him, I can't wait for people like you to be gone.
Yep, he sure did say
and,
that.
And then Robert Duvall just, you saw how, you know, crushed he was, and he just put his head down. And he said, my son. And you see that he was physically crushed. And he held it there to let you see,
mm-hmm.
This is the emotion that you have to see in a person. And he did a lot of that and a whole lot of that. And I'm just prefacing all of that because based on what you're saying, people don't look at movies for that. They go to the movies because they thought it was a heist movie. They thought it was an Ocean 11. they thought it was going to be something like, what was it, Ocean 11 or Ocean 9?
Ocean 9 with the girls.
They thought it was going to be something like that. Mm-hmm. But more action. But the other person said, that I talked to on the gram, said the feeling that he got from 12 Years a Slave and how uncomfortable he was and how emotionally he got you attached to it. He wanted more of that. But the story wasn't good enough to be in mm-hmm, that way. Mm-hmm. So I told him, yes, it was the story, but the acting on there was amazing.
Yeah, because Viola Davis, oh, she tore that shit up.
Oh, yeah. And
then even, what's her name? Because they gave her second billing, Michelle Rodriguez from Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
She was like, oh my God, you know, she was so subtle.
So explain what you read about that or saw when they was talking about Michelle Rodriguez.
On Facebook, they had a live interview. They were talking to some college students. And when she did Fast and Furious, it was just acting. And he basically said, no, you're going to acting classes. You're going to learn how to act. And she said that changed her life because she didn't have that. She didn't have nobody directing her how to act mm-hmm. and all the things she's done. So that alone changed the way she saw her role as an actress. That also opened up so many doors for her because she was only being targeted or attracted to or
typecast
for just that kind of movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's like... When you saw her act, that was night and day. I didn't even associate her to Fast and Furious after seeing her perform.
Based on the way she acted.
Yes.
And you saw her acting ability, which I really enjoyed. And to your point, I didn't say, oh yeah, that's the girl from Fast and Furious.
No, you didn't.
Now, when you see her in other movies, she almost acted the same way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She did.
If you look at it and say, what did she play on? Well, Fast and the Furious. What was it? Not much else.
No, nothing.
Not much else. She didn't do much else other than that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, she did that, and she showed up in different ways with just supporting, you know. But she was that girl. You know what I mean? She wasn't no more than that.
And even the one who played Alice, Elizabeth DeBeckett. She played Alice. She was the skinny girl.
Yeah.
Her role was amazing too. Her boyfriend or her husband was beating her, and so she was just like just fragile girl. Like she just do what she was told.
Yeah, and she was abused by her mother. And
yes,
everything.
Yes. My mother slapped her, and then Viola slapped her.
If you listen to the dialogue, you see she was part of an abusive. All types of abuse
yes.
from her mom, and
yep.
the men that she was with,
yep.
the husband that she had. And she was like, I got to do better. What do I do? I got to do better. Now, she showed up in a lot of movies. She was in The Night Manager. She was in Guardians of the Galaxy, Cloverfield. She was in a couple of things. But here's the problem. If you don't know where she came from, she didn't do anything.
Right.
You know what I mean?
She wasn't recognizable.
If you can't remember her,
yeah, exactly.
Then she didn't. But in here,
she was.
Your expectation of this character was, she's nobody. This tall, blonde woman. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just, I don't even know why they're there. But he ensured that he developed the character that changed from being someone who was being abused to a person to say, here's the skills and things that I have. I'm going to make the most of it because I got to do better. And you see her getting better and better and better and better and proceeded on from that, which I thought was amazing. But the director did that. You follow what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And that was enjoyable with that. And you said, so Rodriguez and so again, Viola Davis is just amazing. But and then the other young girl, came out of nowhere.
Yeah, she's all the way at the bottom, babe.
Yeah, but she didn't really do much of anything. So he pulled her out of almost nowhere, you know, and she's a British actress, Cynthia Erivo.
Yes, that's her.
Yeah, so he kind of pulled her from nowhere. But she made herself somebody in the movie.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, and she was strong. Her. She was a great addition, and he made her relevant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to circle around with the women on there first, because the women, he ensured that he developed them and said, these are who these women are. These are the things that these women went through. And Liam Neeson showed up as the asshole leader. As Viola's husband. And, you know, part of that, if you read on the internet, was this interracial couple, and they showed the intimacy with them, which you don't really see intimacy with an interracial couple. They kind of fray away from that. But they showed that this is who they were, and we go from there. And little subtle scenes was showing, you know, the love and the relationship between them, until you realize this guy was a fucked up crook.
Yeah, he was, because he was fucking over the people he had hired him.
Yeah, he was fucking over everyone.
Yes, he was.
So it was all about himself, and he wanted everything for himself. And even who he was dealing with, he was going from there. Now, what did you think of Colin Farrell?
Interesting. Very interesting. He was a politician. Let me say it that way.
And he played a good politician.
Yeah, he was a politician. You know, that's the true factor in that part. Because he, like, when he came to the funeral of Viola's husband, and so he was like, if you need anything,
come to me,
I'll be glad to help you.
And then when she finally came to him, it was kind of like, I can't do nothing for you.
Yep, can't help you.
You know, you reap what you sow. And she's like, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I really hope so.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really interesting. So I thought he did well. He didn't do it a big standout, but for the role that he was playing, I thought he did well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As the politician. That had the privilege of following behind a father who was a politician and a great-grandfather.
And his father was his father's asshole. Father.
Yeah, because Robert Duvall, Mr. Mulligan, played a racist. And he was like, these people here, you can't do nothing for them.
And he was damn good.
And you know what? When you saw him as this old school politician, mm-hmm. who said, yeah, I'm going to be the alderman or the mayor of this area, but I don't care about the people, because I don't want, you know, he was saying this Trumpism stuff. He was saying, you know, I don't want these foreigners coming in here and the
calling
people
them niggas
here,
and everything
in here and all of this. And he was saying all of that, where Colin Farrell was like,
you can't say that, Dad.
He said, no. I'm getting me a black advertiser or a marketing guy, and I'm getting rid of the other. He was like, and, you know, his father just went off. So those two relationships, that was good. And he built on that. So you understood what they were and who they were, and then you went from there. And then in contrast, you had Brian Tyree and Daniel Kaluuya, which was the two black brothers who were dealing in the streets that Brian Tyree said, I'm tired of this. He said, his brother, you know, Daniel Kaluuya said, we making enough money. What the hell you want with this? He said, I'm 37 years old. This ain't going to last. I don't want people chasing me with guns. I want people chasing me for power.
Mm-hmm.
He said,
right.
In order to have true power, you do these negotiations to be able to get the money to have power. He said, first of all, it's over $100,000. I want that. He said, but then it's not just that, you get the power. And he was explaining that. And he said, then what you did is make the contacts to do what you need to do. And Daniel Kaluuya, he was a gangster ass.
Yep, he sure was.
But it showed how smart he was.
But you know what? Never
he
seen him in
that
role. He was
always reading.
Didn't see him in a role like this
you
before.
You noticed that? He was always reading.
Yep, he sure
he
was.
He had a book with him.
Yes, he sure did.
His brother went into, you know, Brian Tyree went into Viola Davis. He looked at her bookshelf and said, oh, no, I need to read that. So if you see those subtle hints on how these guys really were intelligent, and then when he was following behind Viola, meaning Danielle, he was learning another language. He was listening to an audiobooks.
Yeah,
and then the next time he was listening to an audiobook for Spanish or French, something or two. And he was just sitting there. So you see his intelligence, but he was so ruthless, uncaring. He was kind of like, we just got to do what we got to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who he was throughout the movie. You couldn't say, well, he would be a hero. Maybe he would change. No, no, not at all. He was just cold, and he wanted that character to just be that. Where Brian Tyree was kind of like, I got to get the power as an alderman in order to continue to have the power to do what I want to do.
Right, right.
And you see the contrast on how people see what power really is. And then you saw the Robert Duvalls and the Colin Farrell was, we need to keep power. We can't let the power go. Now,
did you tell them what the storyline is?
No, I really didn't. Okay. Which was really interesting. So the storyline is a police shootout leaves four thieves dead during an explosion armed robbery attempt in Chicago. Their widows, Veronica, Linda, Alice, and Belle, have nothing in common except a debt left behind by their spouses' criminal activities. Hoping to forge a future on their own terms, Veronica joins forces with the other three women to pull off a heist that their husband was planning. And that's what that was. Now, again, the characters, one was that head guy, Liam Neeson and Viola Day. He was the head guy. So he had the money. They was living in a penthouse overlooking the river. Mm-hmm. And then you had Elizabeth, her name Alice, that was with the abusive husband, which was our boy who plays Punisher. And then you had Michelle Rodriguez, who was a gambler.
Yeah.
So he get the money, and then he gambles it away, but he had a shop for his wife, and he even stopped paying for the shop just to be gambling. And then there was the one other woman who had a baby.
Right.
And she just recently had a baby. And which was weird. So they didn't really get into her. So that character, for some reason, wasn't developed.
Right.
Until you realize who she was.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And it was odd because I never understood why.
She never showed up.
She never showed up.
Yeah.
But during the movie, you find that out. But that's what it was about. And then when they got a book and said, here's a book with, because he left it for his wife. And if anything happened, the driver had a key and an address that they would go to. So that's where he hid all the works and everything that he did. His previous jobs, all types of different things. And then he had the next job that needed to have been done, which was interesting. Again, the story was interesting, but it wasn't as complicated as or emotionally complicated, so you would be the tension and everything. There wasn't that much tension other than, will they get to her? Will there be enough time for her to get the money back?
Right.
Because that's where Brian Tyree and Daniel Kaluuya was coming after her. They said, you're going to get my money back.
Right.
You got 30 days to get my money back. Or if not, no, we're coming after you. And so she had to come up with something. And what we find out was a totally different twist in the plan based on how her husband really had a plan throughout this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It was a bigger plan that people really didn't understand, which was, I didn't see coming. So if anybody said they saw this coming, it was kind of bullshit. We just thought the heist that went wrong was based off Colin Farrell, that he had something to do with it, but you just didn't know what it was. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But so again, I think he did a really good job. I think he actually worked well with that. So Steve McQueen and Gillian Flynn rewrote the movie. And I like Gillian. She wrote a couple of books that became movies. So she did Gone Girl and Dark Places and Sharp Objects, because I love that show on HBO, Sharp Objects. So she's a really, really good writer, and she's done a lot of good things. So if you look up Dark Places in 2015, she did that. Sharp Objects in 2018, I just talked about. Gone Girl was 2014. That David Fincher did that one too. You notice we keep bringing up David Fincher. This dude is an amazing director. And all this shit is dark. Mm-hmm. Now, Steve McQueen has a darkness to his movies too.
Yes, he does.
But he has a slower development than most because he wants you to see and feel the emotion.
And know the person.
And know the people.
Know the person.
So then when they start doing things, you can understand why they're doing
it. Yeah, you relate to them.
Not just them doing it out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Because if they would have showed the one girl named Alice start shooting and being aggressive, you would have been like, nah, she was weak.
Yeah.
But he made sure you saw her conversation. I was abused by my husband. I was abused by my mom. And then when what's her name show up and thinking that she can abuse her too, Viola, she was like, I'm not taking this shit no more. Mm-hmm. I am not taking this shit no more.
And then she get a relationship with a guy who claims that he wanted to take care of her, but then he don't want to take care of her.
But he wanted to control her.
Yeah.
And then you see her think through these things. And she's kind of like, do I really want this? Yes. No, I don't want this. Yes. Without saying, I don't want this.
Right.
You can see her body language. You can see the way her expressions go. You see as the turn in the characters, and he does a really good job with that. And I want to go back to your main point from the beginning. People don't go to movies to understand people. People go to the movies to be entertained.
That's right.
And if you're not entertained, people walk out.
That's right. So I suggest those people who want to be entertained, this ain't the movie for you.
No.
This ain't the movie for you.
Now, you'll be entertained, but this
ain't no action-packed movie. If you want to see the built characters and understand Viola Davis, just another thing is too, Viola Davis just don't do anything.
No. When she appears in stuff, she stands out. I'm gonna tell you one that I thought I didn't think she would be good on, which was Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. She was on that, but she was on there as the main person who ran all these criminals and said, I'm in charge and I'm going to control y'all. Y'all don't fucking tell me nothing. Mm-hmm. And when it got down to it, she picked up a gun and she was right there with them. And I was like, damn, okay. She hardcore in this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she took the role because she saw that this was going to be a strong woman.
Yeah.
And this character, she can embody it and go from that. So it made it, she made the character again.
Right, exactly.
So, and then she went from there. But I'm always looking forward to stuff that Steve McQueen does. I'm looking forward to Gillian Flynn. I just think, I'm not sure what they came together story-wise to do with this. Until we see the British series, then we can have an input with that. And right, I would love for us, if we see it, to come back and say, based on this, and when we saw that,
definitely,
the series was this.
Definitely.
And when the movie took from that, they took this.
Right, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So that would be a good recap from that. But Gillian Flynn, she's actually doing a TV series with David Fincher, which I kept saying for the last two times, called Utopia. It's going to be on HBO. But there was, a short series of the same thing. But, yeah, she's doing that. And I think our boy Steve McQueen is going to be doing, the Paul Robeson, I believe, movie. But that's what we have. So what do you rank this, darling?
I give it an 8. I give it an 8.
Really?
Yeah, I give it an 8.
So I'll give it an 8.75. I was going to say 5, but I say 7.5. And the reason why I said 7.5, I love, and if y'all really listen to our podcast, I love cinematography. I love the way people, directors make what you see part of the movie. Mm-hmm. Because the cinematography spoke different things in there without the people having to say anything. And he placed that in there. There was a portion of it, because remember, Alicia, we was talking about it, when Colin got into the car after he had a little rally in the middle of
where he's at, the black area.
Yeah, in the black area. Yeah. And he was talking with his assistant, and they never saw them talking.
No, you saw them driving.
You heard them talking,
right?
But it was just driving.
They driving.
And the dialogue was kind of a little offensive, but he didn't want to show them. He just wanted you to hear them.
Yeah, because they wouldn't go. They didn't go down the street that far.
Yeah, and they didn't go that far. But his purpose was, he didn't want you to see the uncomfortableness of how he was questioning as an assistant, because he was asking her, have you ever fucked a black man? And she was kind of like, kind of being evasive, but you saw he was uncomfortable that this black guy was winning, and he should be blown away with this. And that was the thing from that. So you can imagine the uncomfortableness, but he didn't want you to see it.
Mm-hmm.
So he made you put your image on what you was hearing as opposed to what you was seeing. And it just drove. And then he got out and went to the house, and you was kind of like, damn. And he did some other things with some reflections, and it was a lot of great cinematography things. But without all that, I would have probably been agreed with you with an 8.
Mm-hmm.
But with all those little extras and the great acting on there, yeah, I'd say an 8.75. It was a really good movie, and the critics loved it. It's just people who don't like movies, or people who wanted more, was disappointed in it.
Yeah.
But I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
I can't argue with people who like movies who wanted more.
No, because I know the people on my Facebook that follows me,
mm-hmm.
and they will put it out there, and they would be quick to criticize it. And I know they probably felt the same thing as those people said about the movie as well.
Yeah.
I mean, and I noticed that a lot of them have not went to go see the movie, but they were quick to go see everything that, what's her name?
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
Oh my God. I know what you're talking about, but anyway, yeah. So they quick to see her because, she's ghetto as hell.
Yeah, she is.
And
Tim Hart, and Kevin Hart.
Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany Haddish. Yeah.
And Kevin Hart.
They love them. They love them.
Everything has to be let's laugh.
Yeah.
Everything doesn't have to be let's laugh. It doesn't have to be that. And do you always have to laugh about the same bullshit? You know what I mean? Because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tyler Perry, new movie.
It's no intelligent satire when it comes to black people, and they don't want to do it because either black people don't understand what satire is, or black people just don't want to see that. They want to see the gross type, ghetto type, dumb thinking type shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if it makes them feel good, then that's what you go to the movies for.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Yep, exactly.
But you can't criticize a good movie, or you can't criticize a movie that you don't understand.
That's right.
Because in your world, that's not a good movie. In my world, you don't watch good movies. So one way or another, we're not in an agreement.
Yeah, remember, baby, quick to tell us, you need to go see, you need to see. No.
And I said, no, I don't.
Dude, don't.
I don't. Because if I do, we're going to take about 5 minutes or so to bash the whole movie and then say, thanks for coming by, and we'll see you next week on, you know. And I don't want to waste my time on that, because I don't want to waste money, and I don't want to waste time. And if I did a series on that, there'll be like 2 minutes to 5 minutes type things, and then you'd be like, you didn't even talk about the movie. Oh, I talked about the movie.
Oh, yeah, it's enough.
I gave you the summary, and I told you how terrible it was. Oh, here was a couple of funny lines right here. Everything else was just so typical. The acting and the directing was just the stupidest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I got a friend who said, I hate Marvel movies. It's just kids' movie. I got you. He said, oh, but you need to see the new Kevin Hart. No, I don't. You see, in contrast, I'm a follower of Marvel Comics, so I know deeper than what you know. But on the other hand, I'm not going to deal with ignorant, you know, stereotypical black imagery that's out there that you find funny. I don't find it that entertaining. I'd say entertaining. I'm not going to say funny, because sometimes stupid shit is funny.
Right. Like with Tyler Perry, with Whoopi Goldberg, when the clip, we saw that part. We was like, that was the funniest thing.
That was the funniest thing, because it's not typical. So he used a unique portion on there that was funny as hell. But everything else was kind of like, hey, yeah. Is that a Care Bear? What? So I'm sorry. We getting way off. But anyway, we got an 8 and an 8.75. If you like movies, if you like character development, if you like cinematography, if you like all of that with a little bit of action, then here you go. This is a really good. If do not go to this movie if you want to see an action-packed thriller, because that's not what this is.
No, it's not.
It's drama-based with a thriller undertones, but it's a drama-based movie with great, outstanding acting. Very good. Anyway, Fade to Black Cinema every Wednesday. See us every Wednesday and follow us on Bougie Black Bro or Bougie Black Bro on Instagram or Twitter, BougieBlackBrother.com under Fade to Black Cinema. And the older one is Urban Lifestyle Cafe. So if you look up any one of those, they should jump up and you should be able to grab any of those. So as you go through any of the podcast downloads, you should be able to grab our reviews. So we really appreciate you stopping by. Leave your comments or whatever. And we'll see you next time on Fade to Black Cinema. See ya. Bye.